Danny, I just figured out that if I switch to Metro PCS, I get two Samsung Galaxy phones free.
Cool, Dad.
And I could be a super dad with two free Samsung Galaxy phones and call myself Double Galaxy Man.
Or you could give the second phone to your sidekick.
Yeah, I guess I could do that.
That's right. Two free Samsung Galaxy On5 smartphones are all yours when you switch to Metro PCS. Metro PCS. Wireless figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.
Brock Lesnar comes with me.
Only one other man in history has multiple one-on-one pay-per-view victories over Brock Lesnar. That's John Cena. Goldberg wants to do it tonight. And Brock Lesnar looking to establish dominance. And Goldberg dropping Lesnar.
Goldberg was unfazed. And Lesnar couldn't believe it. A look of shock in the eyes of the beast who was planted by Goldberg.
No fear from Goldberg.
A spear! Goldberg hit Lesnar with a spear! A spear from out of nowhere!
Goldberg may shock the world.
Goldberg looking to end this early.
Lesnar's hurt! Lesnar's hurt! Goldberg again with a spear! Two spears to Lesnar! Brock's in trouble! Brock's in trouble!
I don't think anybody expected this sort of dominance right out of the gate from Goldberg.
The beast may be on the verge of getting slayed.
What an incredible moment here. Lesnar trying to catch his breath, trying to make it to his feet.
The icon is stalking the beast incarnate.
Lesnar can't even get up. Goldberg again. He's got Lesnar center of the ring.
Goldberg's looking for a jackhammer.
He's looking for the jackhammer. Goldberg's looking for the jackhammer.
And just like that, the wrestling world has been turned upside down. People, welcome to the Stolen Sports with yours truly, Mike Pierman Sr., right here on Fox Sports Radio 1340 WHAP. It is I, and people, best and worst of the weekend. But as always, I wear my heart on my sleeve, and I wear it like this. But first, the particular 347-637-3859 is the number to call in. Make sure you follow us on the Twitter at Soul, S-O-U-L-N, Sports. Also follow yours truly, Mike underscore Pierman, P-E-A-R-M-A-N. Sr. on the Twitter as well as 1340 AM Fox Sports. And please, while you're at it, I mean, hell, you got about 10, 37, 87 groups you like anyway, right? Go ahead and like my fan page, Mike Pierman Sr. on the Twitter. And people, what a god darn plethora, smorgasbord of a show we have for you today. As I wear my heart on my sleeve, you heard it right there at the top of the show. Goldberg beat Brock Lesnar. And I mean, let's just be real here, people. Let's just step out the box. Matter of fact, we've all seen Spider-Man the first one, right? Remember when they were trying to beat him up? Flash Thompson was trying to beat him up, and he was like, he stepped back and he saw the punch coming, like, whoa, right? An out-of-body experience. You've seen Ghost if you're a little bit older. You beat Patrick Swayze right now. And that's wrestling fans. They're beside themselves. They are what we know wrestling fans to be, complaining, crying, and not understanding that hashtag wrestling is storyline. We will break that down for you later as well. Also, people, let's just keep it real. Let's just keep it where we have to keep it as I wear my heart on my sleeve. Boxing is really on life support. I'm sorry, Mama. Mr. Richard, I know you're listening. You taught me better than this, and I apologize. I know and I respect and I love the sweet science, but after the week that Conor, I run New York, McGregor had at UFC 205, albeit by an opponent that I believe was completely set up for him to win, did not matter. What does matter is the fact that this fight between Kovalev and Andre Ward, was it a good fight? Yeah, it was good. I had a conversation with Meta World Peace on the Twitter yesterday as well about this fight. But this fight needed to be explosive. This fight needed to be fight of the year. This fight needed to solidify a true pound-for-pound fighter in boxing. The next guy that could take boxing to the next level. And I'm going to state this for the record, as I said it for the record before, for those who are new to the program, 347-637-3859. Boxing will not be back until we have a dominant, fan-favorite, light, heavyweight boxing champion of the world. Okay? We'll talk about this controversial outcome later in the program as well. Also, I mean, say it ain't so, people. First, Tony Romo comes out and says, that's my quarterback. That's pretty much what he said, right? He had a Terrell Owens speech. That's my quarterback. They just keep moving and moving and moving. I caught a 10-point victory. That's what they gave you on hashtag bet that hashtag lock it up show on Friday. The Dallas Cowboys are the best damn team in football. Listen, I said it. Godly. Oh, my Lord in heaven. See, I told you we're having an out of body, if you will, so to speak, experience today. The Dallas Cowboys are the best team in football, okay? Not only are the Dallas Cowboys the best team in football, I said that twice. Wow. Okay, I'm going to move on from the Dallas Cowboys. The Washington Redskins said, hold up! We won this division last year, damn it! We want to win this division again, damn it! We win? We'll see you Thursday on Turkey Day as the showdown for the biggest rivalry in professional football, Cowboys and Redskins. I think it's pretty funny how American has Cowboys and they took the land from the Redskins. Maybe this is why I support the Redskins even more now as I get older. Let's go, Redskins! Hell to the Redskins! I can't even say that and be honest. I'm an Eagles fan. But still, Eagles go to Seattle and lay the – well, I can't say lay the egg. They ain't got no receivers that can catch. All this and dim sum, 347-637-3859. But as always, welcome to the program. One half, well, actually, he's the full owner of the new Twist Show. He is the CFO of the BDSIR Radio Networks, which you can also follow on Twitter at BDSR_network. And damn it, he's Jay to the Crypt. Uncle Jay to you. What's going on, Jay Crypt?
What's going on, Mike? Man, happy Monday. You know, this is everyone's favorite day of the week. Well, maybe just my favorite day of the week. But, you know, it's because it's my Friday. You know,
by the
time we speak again tomorrow, you know, I'll be into my weekend,
yeah,
and
okay.
And Thanksgiving's coming up, as you Ooh. As you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, I did just mention.
But man, what a weekend, man! What a weekend You had you started the show off with the Goldberg Lesnar match, and then we had the boxing match, and we had all the football. This football was pretty exciting this weekend with the most extra points ever missed in 50 years. I mean, it was quite a weekend. It was quite a weekend. I can't wait to dive. I especially can't wait to dive into that boxing match.
Jake, you know that of records really old, when I say, well, at least since we've been taking notes since 1973. with the extra points, I was like, damn, they go back so far. Like, they can't even remember the last time these many extra points were made. And they just moved it back this year. So, for those who missed last year. Oh, last year, I'm sorry. Still, all right, that's ridiculous. You're a specialist. Act like one. Also, welcome to the program, my brother, from the same mother, because, you know, God is my father, and he put me here, but he's not my mother, but Mother Nature is still all in the air. What's going on, Micah? That's Emmy Richmond.
Oh, my brother, I am flabbergasted, befuddled, and bewildered.
Did you say
I am trying to figure out what happened last night.
Get over it.
I'm not even talking about the Goldberg match. I'm talking about my Colts actually winning another football game.
What is
this happening? I'm just confused that I've lost all rhymes and reason to do them. But I'm here. I'm good. I'm ready to go.
It's baloney. That's what that is. And also, welcome back to the program. One half of the Untouchables. Happy birthday to that Duke fan, to that Redskin fan, to that rude brother of yours. What's going on, Wale?
It's good, y'all, man. Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that, man. That's one of my main dude in life. Also, man, like Jay Chris said, man, sports is great. Yeah, definitely. Like Jay Chris said about sports over the weekend, man. Boxing, man, I was all in love with it. I'm probably the minority in a lot of things about that fight, but I was in love with it. I thought you got everything you wanted out of a boxing match.
Well, I can't wait to get into that one. I can't wait because I watched it and I wanted to love it, and maybe I would have loved it more. We're talking about. But first, the Washington Redskins did what the hell they had to do. They stayed safe. They not only beat the Packers of Green Bay, okay? They beat them so bad, right? And credit to Coach Gruden, which for, you know, this being our second year on this program, he has not gotten high favors from me. That 4th-and-1 call, when the momentum seemed like they could not stop the Packers of Green Bay, and they converted that and it came down to score that touchdown, that was the shift, I think, in the Redskins season. And I cannot wait. I have never wanted to watch a Redskins-Cowboys game, especially as much as I want to watch one right now. Now, you know on Thanksgiving you watch all football games anyway, right? You got to get away from the women who be like, you watch football all day? And then basketball come on too? Like, right, you got to kind of like pick and choose when you get in there, right? But this is a game that I think is a must-watch game. NFC East is back. I said it. Tweet it. Write it down. Take a picture. I don't give a poop. The NFC East is back, okay? The best team in football, the Dallas Cowboys, takes on the defending champions, the Washington Redskins. Washington wins their game on Sunday Night Football 42-24. The Cowboys win 27-17 over Baltimore, which if you not heard the response towards Flacco, which he came back later and retracted his statements and said it wasn't about Flacco necessarily, it was about the team, and one preacher, Ray Lewis. You know, people love Ray Lewis around these parts. They really do. And for the life of me, I really don't understand why. I get that he played football. I understand that he played football. But that guy has so many holes in him. I know for a fact his favorite cheese is Swiss. Okay, that much I know. But also, the Giants win 22-16, and you know the Eagles lost, but we're not talking about them right now. But the Washington Redskins, 42-24, Wally. Excuse me, Mamo. What the hell is going on with the Washington Redskins, Wally?
You finally got to see them all phases offensively. They got DeSean Jackson involved. You saw the running game with Robert Kelly. Fat Rob is his nickname. He was over, like, I believe, 130-some-odd yards. You saw Pierre Garçon go deep. You saw Jordan Reed You saw Jameson Crowder. And this is what we were talking about before the season started. This team has so many weapons. I didn't even talk about Vernon Davis, who's had a great year as the second tight end to a Jordan Reed. So it just tells you that this team has so many weapons, which it is hard for any defense of any caliber to just contain it. Now it's all up to Kirk Cousins, and right now, Kirk Cousins has been hot over the last couple of weeks, and yesterday he was on point. If he could play at that level, again, I don't see any defense that can stop this team from scoring 25 to 30 points, because they have the weapons they have is crazy. And we're talking about a team that's missing their star left tackle in Trent Williams. So I'm interested to see what happens, you know, on Thursday against the Dallas Cowboys.
This is what's amazing to me, Wally, is that you get this team and the Green Bay Packers, the Packers of Green Bay, that just seems to, for the first time in years, may have lost it, right? You got Kirk Cousins comes out and outplays, at least in my opinion, only missing on 9 passes last night, the best we've ever seen the Magic Man Kirk Cousins play. 21 for 30, 375, 3 touchdowns. And did I tell y'all? See, because I am from Chicago, and that son of a beep used to come up to my school in his candy apple red Vans, I fell in love with R. Kelly. Pause. But I told you the running back, R. Kelly, was going to be a beast. I knew nothing about the man. His name was R. Kelly, okay, which means I knew one thing more than anything. I knew more than anything, and that is he knew how to run through holes. Okay, 24 for 137, 5 yard carrying average, 3 touchdowns. Pierre Garçon, you know, I know that guy. I speak to him quite often. You know what I'm saying? 6 catches, 116, 19 yards catch. I mean, Jay Chris, you have to be admired. I know in your heart of hearts you hate him. Okay, you haven't learned to love them like I do. Because as an organization from the inside, they're really good people, especially the people of my elk. Okay?
Well, can't let you talk about me like that in that fashion. I won't allow it. I don't hate the Skins.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
They weren't even on my list. If you remember a couple of weeks
they
ago, we had our top
list.
Five.
They were not
on my list.
My apologies. I'll even
take it a step further. I loved the Redskins last night because I had Pierre Garçon and Kelly on my fantasy team.
Oh,
and they did it up for
me. Pick up Kelly late in the season because that's sick. That's a great pickup. You know what?
Waiver wire. Gotta love it.
I picked him up Wednesday. I couldn't believe he was there, and I started him in my other league. Yes, I understand what Robert – No, that's KC. Could do Kelly. But were you not impressed? I mean, what's going – is this more – Micah, about the lack of the Packers of Green Bay or the resurgence of the Washington Redskins?
I think it's a lot of both, actually, because, you know, you got to be able to show up against a guy of a caliber, the quarterback of a caliber of an Aaron Rodgers. I know Aaron Rodgers is a little down, but for some odd reason we know that when it comes to teams that are quote-unquote supposed to be worse than what he's used to playing, man, he usually picks those teams apart. And we saw flashes of, oh, boy, here comes Aaron Rodgers going ahead and do. My wife, who's an avid Redskins fan when she watches the game, because, you know, outside, I love my wife to death, but my wife doesn't know anything about her team other than yay when they win and boo when they lose. That's all she knows. Bless her heart. Bless her heart.
Okay. How you doing, April?
Yeah, I make sure we holler at her out there, so, you know, taking care of that son. Anyway, so, but Green Bay is definitely a shell of themselves. I mean, they played very well before with injuries and with not a running game. So what makes it different this year? How come Aaron Rodgers isn't telling us to relax in this whole, you know, his whole arrogant I'm the man type of discount?
Hey, do not sit here and discount double check himself. You know he sleeps with Olivia Munn
He sleeps with Olivia Munn.
It does not matter what he does wrong. Next to Broadway Brady, he's the second best quarterback in football.
It's perfectly fine for him to be arrogant. There's nothing wrong with him being arrogant. I know that's for him.
Okay.
What I'm saying is that usually his smugness pays off. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, usually his weapon pays off, and it did not pay off in this case. And I have no idea what's going on with him and the organization as a whole. And honestly, a lot of people are going to start pointing the direction to Mike McCarthy because they're going to think that it has to be dealing with the leadership of the team, and that's what the direction is going in with it is. But I don't know. But me personally, if I had to pick one, I'd say the Redskins are hitting their stride, and they're looking good doing it. They actually got a running back who can actually, like, pound the ball inside. They give them that. They give them that. And Robert, and Mr. Ooh, yeah, as you like to call him, Robert Kelly, got some burst to the to him, too. So he has enough power to break through the line when he has some good holes, and they give him some good holes. And he has enough burst to get away. Lastly, I'll say this. There's a guy on the Redskins offensive line. He got suspended. Anybody knows the O-line was playing better without him? I'm just taking a guess. Wally,
oh, they were playing better.
But it, looked like better it looked like they were playing better last night against the, against the Green Bay Packers without him.
Ty and Secchi is good, but he ain't better because what Trent does is that, you know, even in the running game, he can take on two blocks. Trent can he can take on two defenders. Trent can take it to the second level. He could take it to the second level. And Secchi's good, but he can't move like Trent. Like Trent can he can pull through so many
things.
That's
a big that's
so
Trent's,
like,
Trent's one of the best offensive linemen in football and has
He's just too versatile.
Yeah, and by all the ice he wears, I know he's worth it because he got all that ice. I mean, like, he has the greatest Jesus piece I've ever seen in person, seriously. But
the Giants of New York took on the Packers of Green Bay. And in the end, the Giants triumphed by kicking an oblong ball made of pigskin to a big H. It was a most ripping victory.
Not this day. And this is where I go back to you, Wally. Similar to when I asked Micah, more Packers – or you know, the resurgence of the Redskins here. And I'm not going to stay on this game too long, but I got to say this. This was, to me, the greatest fourth quarter of football, and especially, if not football, this year, on a Sunday night football game that I've ever seen. And I'll be real with you. I watched it later. Think, you know, DVR is, is a man's best friend. He used to be a dog, right? But, you know, it's not anymore. It's America ruined that because Michael Vick fought him. You know, but I mean, DVR's got to be man's best friend. 20-14 in the fourth quarter. This is why I'm loving the Redskins team. As Redskins teams in the past, with Aaron Rodgers coming on like that, couldn't have changed the momentum. And that fourth and one play, I credit that to the whole game being turned around. Your thoughts on that fourth quarter and that fourth and one play?
Well, it was big, man, because, you know, Aaron Rodgers had a momentum. You kick the ball off, you never know what's going to happen. So Jay Gruden, you know, had the heart. You know, it was fourth and inches, you know, fourth and one, fourth and inches, and they ran a quarterback sneak. Especially, and I'm glad he had faith in this offensive line. As it came to Micah's point, the offensive line did play well, and he showed faith in them and showed that, you know what, we got pushback. We can get pushback on this against. We can push up and be more physical against the Green Bay Packers front four, who was decimated with injuries as well too at the same time. So he took advantage of that, and they got the first down. So I give Jay Gruden credit for that. I had issues with him going for two consistently because I know you remember me talking about Mike Tomlin doing that against the Dallas Cowboys. I had an issue with that even though it was windy. I still thought he should have went for the extra points because you're playing against Aaron Rodgers, knowing Aaron Rodgers can get high anytime.
I loved it because I think without it, you know, the wind was clearly a factor, and for whatever reason – this way they could say they had the advantage of being the last team of the day to play. It was something, let's say, stormish in the air in the realm of X-Men, right? The wind was just doing – kickers couldn't make nothing yesterday, okay? So even though he does have, you know, one of the best kickers in football, I think he played it right there. I think the momentum from the Packers of Green Bay was just too much and he needed that play. I really do think that. And I know you're right. It's one of those catch-22s. If he doesn't get it, I'm sitting here saying, what a dummy. You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, that's just the way the cookie crumbles. I mean, look what they're doing to our boy Smart down in Texas, right? But that's a show for maybe Wednesday, right? That's a show that people don't really want to hear about how he's getting the same what's my man from Notre Dame, Ty Willingham, kind of treatment down there in Texas. That's all we're going to say about that much right there. But moving on into Thursday, Jay Chris, Thanksgiving, you're off. Have you ever wanted to watch a Thanksgiving game as much as the one out of the three we got slated for this Sunday? Other than because our Eagles aren't playing, of course.
I can't wait to see it. I honestly, God, I can't wait to see it. I already put on my Twitter that this week is HTTR, excuse me, hashtag HTTR. You know, I am a self-proclaimed and proven Cowboy hater, so I will be rooting against the Cowboys for whatever they are doing. All I got to say is, Wiley, I told you early in the season, just hold on. Kirk Cousins, slow starter. Slow starter.
It's true.
I remember week two, Wiley was on here ready to move some furniture.
Week three. Because, you know, after week three. You're right. That was going crazy.
Wiley was ready to move some furniture. Wiley said it's over. It's done. It's a wrap. He said it three times. It's a wrap.
I said it.
You know how he said that, too, right? He'd be like really – like trying to throw out his PG County accent. I mean, I don't think he
means
have one, but in his case, he has one.
They have one.
Yo, Wally, all right, pause. Wherever the hell you be eating chicken wings from, you make me want to literally go in my phone and have some chicken. For somebody, listen, straight up, because it's coming for me, right? And I've done it a million times, but this time it's for real. I watch you work out. And I watch you eat whatever the hell you want to eat sometimes, right? And I admire the HU double hockey stick out of it, bro. Them wings, you are not afraid to eat chicken wings, okay?
Hell no.
The wings you begin, you make a brother want to have chicken wings on Thanksgiving instead of a turkey. Like, forget the wings. All right, forget the bird. Let's just get the wings. Micah, I know you cooking on Thanksgiving, all right? So – Thanksgiving, while you're cooking, are you watching this Cowboys Redskins game?
Yeah, because we gotta watch it, man. Most of my wife's family in-laws.
Why do I gotta watch it?
I gotta watch it because I have an obligation towards the family. So their family, a bunch of Redskins fans, but they got some Cowboys terrorists all sprawled up in there too, in their family, of Redskins fans. So when the two Cowboy fans that come out, I'm there as a professional heckler. So every time they start doing stuff, I'm just like, hey, you're a Cowboys fan. You suck. We're 9-1. No, you're not in New York. How about
you're
that?
Not in New York.
In New York.
Maybe if I say that. For once,
that's
I feel
like
that. That's all you need, right? Speaking of the Dallas Cowboys, and in honor of, I know none of you guys like them when we're on air, right? The serial typist in the group chat. Mr. King Vaughn Jr. on the 720 on the Twitter. I'm going to say this again because it's been over a week, and I have to say, off a bet that I lost, my wife and you, J. Chris, told me stop making bets. But I lost another one, okay? So because of that, with all the Mr. Hanky in my mouth, Donald Trump was the better guy. Are you happy now, Mrs. Captain Kurt? Are you happy?
That was the bet.
Can I have your card back now? Can I have your card? Please give it to me. All right, moving on. So now that I said that,
no,
I want to say this. It was a bet. You told me during that conversation to stop having it. She pulled me in, and I could not get out. I mean, kind of like
I told you.
White.
Yeah, you're talking about that.
Yeah.
You're talking, okay, I got you.
I'm going to move to the left, right? And the Dallas Cowboys are the best team in football, guys. I'm sorry. I have never – this is the second time I've said this in back-to-back shows, or at least in the next three shows, right? I said I hate Conor McGregor, but I love Conor McGregor, right? I hate the Dallas Cowboys. I'm not sure if I hate them more than the Yankees, or they're like right there above the evil empire. I hate them both. Like, I hate both them teams. But them some bitches is good. Okay? Ezekiel Elliott, half top crop, looking like Brian H. Waters' arse. Okay? And that quarterback who mama named him Rain. Okay?
She was looking at SWV stadium.
She was definitely with some SWV stuff going on there, Micah. Good call on that one. Okay. They're the best team in football, Wally. And I'm going to start with you when I say that. how did this game come out on Thanksgiving? We're not going to have a show until Friday. So who wins this game Thanksgiving Day, Wally?
Well, I think the Patriots are the best team.
The best team in football.
Yeah, they're the best team in football. I mean, I just think
that's all hate, Wally, and I'm okay with that.
No. I'm not hate. No, seriously, I really do. I think they're just the best team in football. If Ray Prescott
was in his fourth year, would you say the same thing? Or is it because he's a rookie and he didn't say?
No, it's because of the Patriots. It's just because of the Patriots. Okay. To be real, I hate the Patriots. I hate the Patriots. They're the Patriots. It is what it is.
Everybody hates the Patriots. You don't hate Tom Brady.
I actually dislike Tom Brady a lot.
You actually dislike Tom Brady? You're a Michigan fan who don't like Tom Brady. Tom Brady is the coolest quarterback in football since Jim McMahon.
I do not like Tom. I can't stand the Tom Brady.
Tweet that, King Vaughn. Coolest quarterback in the NFL since Jim McMahon. Tom Brady is Broadway Brady. Okay, go ahead.
I'm a Patriots fan, so I don't really. That's not that.
I went to you just because I had to. I had to go.
I got you. Yeah. So, but I do think it's gonna be a competitive game. I mean, it's Reds and Cowboys. It's always competitive. I'm gonna give you. It's gonna be close. It's gonna be by a field goal. Give me the Redskins 24, Cowboys 21.
On a field goal on Thanksgiving. Don't drink too much, Wally, because you may miss it.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. You ain't lying about that.
I think that's like a 3 o'clock game too. That's like right at dinner.
Yeah. I'm gonna find stuff to do after that. Believe me.
Okay. Drink plenty of water. Jay Chris, how you see this game going? I called him this, and I'm not afraid. He says the Patriots. I can't argue that. You know, but I think it's the Cowboys, man. Best team in football, and who wins this game on Thursday?
Based on what I saw yesterday, I think the Seahawks are the best team in football right now.
They beat the Patriots on Sunday Night Football. They sure did.
And New England, too, right?
And Gronk was there.
And they put Gronk out for a couple of games.
Yeah, that's true.
Out of his fantasy.
That's a good one, too. Yeah.
Actually, I see this game a little different from Wiley. Just a little different, not completely. Mm-hmm. I see this game from Wiley. I see the rest teams winning this game. And I see them winning this game by a score of 30-17.
Oh, wow.
Wow. More time. I think I might have – I was changing to – I thought you was going somewhere deeper with it, and you went somewhere shocking with it, and I couldn't get my music ready. Repeat that.
I'm going a little different from Wiley. I see the Redskins winning this game, and I see them winning this game 30-17.
Wow. Amy Richmond on the Twitter.
I just want to know, before I give mine, I want to know what makes them think that the Redskins is going to put up 30 on the Cowboys. Mm. In my opinion, I'm not talking about the Cowboys putting up on Cowboys defense while not giving up anything else but 17 when they couldn't get a pass rush, effective pass rush for the most of the game on Aaron Rodgers.
They did though.
Kind of worse.
Let me tell you what Aaron Rodgers does great compared to Dak Prescott. Aaron Rodgers can elude the pressure. They got pressure on Aaron Rodgers, but Aaron Rodgers is an elusive dude. Like, it's like he's the white Michael Vick. If that makes any sense to you in terms of him in the pocket, he can slide. He can move. Like, now they're different. I don't put Aaron Rodgers in the pass rushing. In terms of getting pressure to a Dak Prescott, because Aaron Rodgers is a different beast.
I'm sorry, did you just say that?
I called him. You heard me. He's a white Michael Vick in the pocket.
Okay.
How can he avoid
the
pressure pass?
The only reason why I'm not laughing at. You know how you always laugh at me when I make weird comparisons. And you'd be like, okay. Right?
That was a weird one.
I think of Michael Vick, I think really fast. Right? Yeah. So the white Michael Vick to me might have been like Tim Tebow. You know what I'm saying? But I get Aaron Rodgers is elusive. You know what I mean? Yeah. But the white Michael Vick, wow. You thought Jason Williams' mother hated white chocolate. Wow. 347-637-3859. Oh! Okay.
Hey, can I say something real quick?
Yeah, well,
real quick.
Go ahead.
Yeah, right that. Before Mike, I just wanted to give the Cowboys credit. They're playing a hell of a game of football right
they,
now
they
at 9-1. Wait. Let me finish.
Not in New York.
Now it's time to throw some shade in there. They're playing a hell of a game of football for a team that's playing a last place record, a last place schedule.
Oh! Hold on.
Y'all crazy.
Say it again, Jay Chris.
So they're playing a hell of a game of football right now for a team that's playing a last place schedule.
You know who played a last place schedule last year? And was really good? The Carolina Panthers did. And the Washington Redskins. But the Washington Redskins record wasn't too great. They just won the division.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry.
Sure. That's what
but, okay. Micah, who wins this game on Thursday?
I really would like to pick the Redskins in this one, but I think the Cowboys are going to take it. And I think it's going to be close. I see the 24-21, 24-22, or 23 range, but that's going to be in favor of the Cowboys. I hate having to say that.
It does suck balls. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that? I'm sorry. Please take that from off the record. Make sure you edit that out, King Vaughn, before we send it to Fox Sports.
It's disgusting. It makes my palate just dry up Anyway, but here's the reason why. While I know that their defense, their secondary especially is going to be susceptible to some passes and stuff from Kirk
okay,
and stuff, I think it's going to be close. But I think Ezekiel Elliott is a difference breaker in the offensive line of Dallas.
Yeah.
I think that's a difference.
I'm a blind tag y'all and start over, right? Because I was gonna get my decision out, but I want to see the point spread first. Early on point spread, Dallas favored by 7. Wally, does Washington cover that 7? 24-21, that's your final, right? That 7 is not covering, right? Okay.
Chris, you said they're not covering
because it's a blowout. And, Michael, you're saying Dallas isn't covering. It's going to be close, right?
Yeah, it's going to be close. The Redskins, if Dallas is favored by 7, Redskins are going to cover that.
Uh-oh. I'm sorry. All right, because when music like this hits, you got to just turn it up a little bit. Listen, guys. Tony, you my man. Right? That's the president of public relations. That's my homeboy. You met him, Wally. Cool guy.
Yeah.
Right? The Dallas Cowboys are the best team in football, guys. And they have gotten by the skin of the eighth inch of a skin. In honor of Cam Newton, the stupid hat, right? By an eighth inch of a skin, they've gotten by. Yo, Jay Chris, the Washington Redskins are going to beat the Dallas Cowboys' arse. It's going to be 30-14 on Thanksgiving.
Oh,
ooh,
the Dallas
man,
Cowboys,
that's my own heart.
The Dallas Cowboys, and hey, King Vaughn, before you get your boxers in the arse. This is nothing personal. This is me watching the game. This is me knowing the players. I don't know the Dallas Cowboy players. All right? So I guess on this one, I'm a little bit, biased. But I know that team. I know those players. And as I meet football players from teams running around, these guys take things serious. And the Dallas Cowboys, who are 8 in New York, they're overlooking the Washington Redskins. And they played a really not good team, in my opinion, offensively, in Baltimore. And this game is not going to be close, guys. Washington Redskins not only covered that 3, I'm calling it right now. My upset of the week is the Washington Redskins, and the future Eagle wide receiver, DeSean Jackson, will go off for 100 yards in this game. I said it, Jay Chris. He's coming back to Philadelphia. I got to go ahead and praise that now as I segue into who you said was the best team in football, the Seattle Seahawks. Are they that damn good like Triple H and Mike Knox with 3 X's? Or that we don't have any receivers?
And I know you like that. Like I always like to say when I talk to you, Mike, it's a little bit of both.
A little bit of both.
That defense has come back to where they were.
That secondary. That secondary.
The Legion of Boom has come back to being the Legion of Boom. They hold it down. I promise you, when I watched that game yesterday, at times I thought, man, they must have about 12, 13 guys out there. Because there's no way that these receivers are covered, double covered by this defense, and nobody gets open. And that goes on to say that, you know, the Eagles just have poor wide receivers as well.
Okay.
The Eagles were in that game up until the point where that touchdown, that 60-some-odd yard touchdown by Zach Ertz was called back for illegal procedure, for illegal formation.
Let me put a nickel in the middle, Jake. Is that more that Peterson is being too god darn animated and maybe the ref didn't saw it?
The ref was trying to tell him too.
Okay.
The ref was on the side telling him to move up.
Is Jay Chris saying, that's Jay Watson Radio Man on Twitter, that the Philadelphia Eagles receivers are not intelligent?
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is Nelson Aguilar,
you're saying they can't catch?
Oh, everybody says they can't catch. I'm not the only one that says that.
But to take a phrase from you,
Nelson Aguilar needed to get his head out of his arse. Okay, because
I think it's the strippers.
It might be.
He likes strippers.
Philly has some nice strippers. I'm just saying. I don't know this, but I know this.
Right.
I do like that. No, I do. I know that. Y'all got some nice strippers. I know that.
I mean, you know. Couple of them out there in the mainstream right now.
I'm not saying I'm having sex with these strippers. Saying that they're some nice strippers. I ain't just on the side.
But you know,
are they number one?
If you look down the line and you're behind the left tackle,
right?
Something's wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Something ain't right. This is as a first round draft pick.
Yeah, you got to be smarter than that.
You got to be smarter. You have to have your
head. We questioned that from the beginning. So,
yeah, absolutely. The Seattle Supersonic Seahawks. The Seattle Supersonic Seahawks.
I want to just jump in there a little bit. Okay. Remember how you felt about Golden State, you true basketball fans, before the world started to like them? You kind of admired them anyway, but then the world kind of made you step back. That was me with Seattle, right? I've always hated Pete Carroll, as he's a USC coach. You know, I'm a Notre Dame fan, so I've always hated Pete Carroll. You know, he did the same thing a lot of coaches do, where he got the team in trouble, USC, and then he voted for the NFL. But to me, when I look at Seattle and we talk about their defense over the years, to me, when I look at defenses like, to me, the greatest defense of all time, the Monsters of the Midway, the 85 Bears, I look at second, although they didn't win a Super Bowl, the Philadelphia Eagles in the early 90s with Reggie White, Steve Atwater, and Jerome Brown and those guys. Then I go to Baltimore, Ravens with Ray Lewis, we all know his team, and their secondary with Reed. Those teams could stop every facet of the game. To me, Seattle can't stop the run. And I know you can say that easily off of yesterday's game, but they're not also playing they didn't win their division last year either. You know what I mean? And they're getting a lot of games. And I know they beat the Patriots. I'm not taking nothing from them. But I don't think their defense, the Legion of Boom, what I knew, even that team then, couldn't stop the run. And so although you can't throw against them, you can beat Seattle. So I can't say they're the best team in football. I just say they caught a New England team, and they caught an Eagles team that got hurt, had some bad calls because they're now the number one penalty-driven team in the NFL is the Philadelphia Eagles. But real fast, guys, as we get up out of football in the NFL for Week 11, we do have the Monday Nighter, Jay Chris. Wouldn't let you forget. We did not pick that on Friday on Lock It Up. We have in Mexico City. And I mean, people talk about moving the Oakland Raiders to Las Vegas. I think a lot of, help me out, Jay Chris. I don't want to say the wrong word here. fan base.
Okay.
Right. Hispanic fans. Thank you.
Hispanic fans
will be pretty goddamn mad if they move to Las Vegas. But I think it's a foregone conclusion. They are favored by 7 points. They are everybody's, including Wally's, flavor of the year. Mine was Houston, but we lack a quarterback. Who wins this game, Micah? 6.5 is the line. Who you got, Houston or the Oakland Raiders?
Well, I'm going to pick the Raiders, not because I want Brock Osweiler as a trash heap that he is to lose, and that will help my Colts out, but primarily because Brock Osweiler is actually a trash heap, and that's the reason why they're going to lose. Now, I do think that the Texans have a chance if they pound it with Lamar Miller, Pauls. But I think that the Raiders are going to take this one. I appreciate it. So I think the Raiders are going to take this one, and I think they're going to do very, very well. And that 7 points, I can see it happening. But at the same time, I know the Raiders, it's some of their games they like to keep really close.
Thank you.
Give me the Texans to cover the points, but the Raiders to win that game. But yeah, I'll give you the Texans to cover.
Texans will cover. And
is it a barbershop? Is this a barbershop?
Yes,
this is a barbershop. Yes, I mean, we can't talk straight in the barbershop. Then where can we talk straight? We can't talk straight nowhere else. You know, this ain't nothing but healthy conversation. That's all right. Ain't nobody exempt in the barbershop. You know that. Ain't nobody exempt. You can talk about whoever and whatever, whenever you want to in the barbershop.
The Oakland Raiders suck. That's why I played that. Jay Chris, who wins this game? He says Houston covers. Guess what? I say they suck, but... help me out here. I think
Go ahead, J. Chris. Go ahead, J. Chris. Hit him with the freestyle, cause I like to get wild. Going with the Oakland Raiders, cause they are never faded. I slipped up and I stopped on my words, but I'm gonna stop, cause you know what you heard, man. I'm going with the Oakland Raiders, man. I'm going with the Oakland Raiders. I'm going with the Oakland Raiders, and I don't know. It just came to me.
You're a trip, boy. You're a trip.
I said, let me go ahead and do it.
I put you on the spot, and you tried it. So, yo,
anybody out there,
a rapper,
but that's
what you got. Right.
I'm down for whatever. And let me say this, man. I got Michael Crabtree on my fantasy squad. I've already won the game. I'm benching him tonight just in case he has a bunch of fumbles. I'm sitting with Michael Crabtree because I don't need him to win. And as soon as the show is over, I'm putting Michael Crabtree on the bench.
You might want to do that right now while the show is on, but you forget.
Yeah, you might be right.
Don't want that game to be gone. Wally, your team is on Monday Night Football. They were on Sunday Night Football. America is in love with the Jets win, baby. I've always said Madden football's best team of all time on Madden every year is the Oakland Raiders. Why? That's John Madden's team. And they always got speed. And in video games, that's all you need is speed. You pick Oakland all year long. Can this be their coming out party against the Houston Texans?
I need it to be, man. I'm down to fantasy football. I got Derek Carr and I got my man Amari Cooper. I need Amari Cooper to give me 2 touchdowns. I need Derek Carr to throw me an extra touchdown on the third on that one. So, yeah, I'm going to Oakland. I'm going to blowout because I need it. Not because I care, because I need it.
All right, I'm telling you, Jay Chris, do you have my picks from the week? Because as I sit here today, you know what? Well, I already know who I picked. I picked the Oakland Raiders. I mean, I got to be honest, guys. I got to be honest. I don't want to like the Oakland Raiders because, I've never hated the Oakland Raiders, to be honest with you. The uniforms are pretty cool. They had Bo Jackson.
Are awesome. Yes.
I mean, they're not awesome. Silver, they're black and silver.
They go with everything,
sorry,
man. They like
no,
those.
The Chicago
bad,
Cubs
man.
Colors are awesome because they're red, white. All right, I'm going to stop right there.
Oh, my
there.
God. Okay. Yeah,
stop. You're not coming to me. I didn't say it. Okay? No need to take a knee. Okay? Now, that's needed right now. All right, but I picked the Oakland Raiders. I mean, Carr and them guys, it's something that you see in a quarterback and you want from a quarterback. It's called the intangibles. All right, I know you haven't seen it from my quarterback, so I'm going to go back to Winsylvania. But he has it in him. He doesn't have the team. Well, the Oakland Raiders, you cannot hate them, to be honest. Unless you are an older person in your 40s and 50s, you can hate them because at that point, you know, they were a winning franchise. But right now, they've been so trash for, you know, the last, let's be real, 20 years, right? They've had their moments. So out of that 20, you could subtract 4, but they sucked. And they're actually starting to look pretty good. And Jake and Wally, you actually pointed out a couple weeks ago about, yo, you know, what they're doing. How can you not like them? And I said something about the baby Cubs. Oakland wins this game by 10 points against Houston. I benched also in that game Hopkins, because Hopkins has not gotten off because Austin Waller sucks so bad. Hopkins is now out here looking like a receiver that no one knows about. He might as well be with the Philadelphia Eagles receivers than being in the Canadian Football League. Now, that's actually too good for the Eagles for receivers. He could be in the Canadian Football League. Eagles need to go to the Arena League. But I'm picking the Oakland Raiders in that game right there. And with that note, I want to stop talking about football. We talked about that for the last 50 minutes. I want to talk about something that's very intriguing to me. Because coming up, guys, I have not forgotten about my wrestling fans. 347-637-3859. Perfect Plex Talk Radio is coming back on Monday. And it's starting today. All right? Because Survivor Series was that damn important. And I got something to say. It's just my opinion. You don't like it. Listen anyway. But boxing, Andre Ward took on Kovalev for the light heavyweight championship of the world in Vegas. And a good fight. Early action by Kovalev dropped Andre SOG Ward. But Ward did some dirty boxing. Legal. Just called dirty boxing. To attack the body, put the pressure on him, finally get within the reach that Kovalev expressed and displayed in front of the world for the first four rounds, at least in my opinion, the first four rounds, to take, I can't say that, in my opinion, to steal the fight. I knew it's the second I heard one, Max Kellerman say, I'm sorry, that's not Max that said that, Jim Lampley say, well, we are in Vegas, and we know how the Vegas judges will go for an American fighter. And at that moment, I knew that the decision we were going to get from the judges, if you know the song, you know the beat, you know the words to it. Now make that motherfucking hammer time. Okay? I think that fight, that title, was stolen from one Kovalev. I'm going to start with you, Wally, because it sounds like you don't think that at all. Your impressions of this fight that supposed to brought boxing back, but I think it made boxing look even worse.
No, I thought it was a great fight. I thought that Kovalev did what I think, and we all see it's a point system. A lot of those, we just use it to the election, right? We talk about swing states, right? And that can go any which way. Well, there were a lot of swing rounds in that fight. And I think a lot of people, when you look at Kovalev knocking Ward down early in the fight, and you're like, you know what, he got this. But at the end of the day, 10-9 rounds add up. And there were a lot of rounds that you can say, oh, Kovalev, that Ward got towards the
end. You gave Ward nine.
I gave Ward nine rounds. I had Ward winning most of the late rounds because Kovalev got tired to me at the end. He got tired, and you can see it. And most of So he got tired towards the end, and towards like the last four or five rounds, Andre Ward to me was hitting more of the solid punches in that round, in those rounds, those late rounds anyway. And I was talking to my friend. I was like, Andre Ward needs this last round. I told him, like, if he wants to win this fight, he needs this last round. And he fought hard in that last round. So I had it super close. Like, I wouldn't have been mad if Kovalev won. I wouldn't have been frustrated because I know how, in terms of some of those rounds, are super close. It wasn't, and Max Kellerman said it too. He was like, you can be pissed off that Kovalev didn't win the fight.
But you also can't come out and say that Andre right. Ward, like, this was a robbery. Because okay. at the end of the day, he like he said, it was it, there were a bunch of swing rounds. And it wasn't like Kovalev dominated every round. There were
no,
a bunch
did.
Of swing rounds.
There were.
So
they
I'm
were.
Not mad. And I feel like, for me, I thought it could go either way. So I wouldn't, if Kovalev won, I wouldn't have been like, oh, Ward got robbed. To me, it was a fight that was highly contested, and it was a good fight that could have went either way. And that's what happened to me.
This is why I didn't like the decision, and I let I know he's chomping at the bits to jump in there, J Chris Radio Man on the Twitter. Did I say it right, J Chris? I'm trying to learn.
You said it right, actually.
Jay Watson.
No, Jay Watson Radio Man.
He said Chris. Oh yeah, Jay Watson.
I did say J Chris. Jay Watson Radio Man on the Twitter. I'm sorry, people. Get it right. You have to beat a champion, and I think that's overlooked here. I don't think he did enough to win the fight, and this is why I say that. I will always have a problem and started hating boxing fans the way that I hate wrestling fans when Floyd Money Mayweather, to me, very convincingly, beat one Oscar De La Hoya. And all of a sudden, boxing fans said that, well, he was the busier fighter. He kept attacking him. And I kept saying, but he wasn't hitting him. And anybody who watches a Floyd Mayweather fight knows he doesn't get hit. Okay? So in this case, it was like I'm watching Andre Ward do nothing but go to the body. No headshots made. And I get that a punch is a punch and points is points. And as I'm mentioning Floyd Mayweather, I have to be honest and say he wins by point systems by beating the sport. So Andre Ward landed punches. But I've never seen a fight where the CompuBox numbers would go completely against that and show that Kovalev landed more punches and landed more punches at a higher percentage. And because of that, and because of the knockdown and the dominating first round, the dominating second round, and the dominating third round, which should have been at that point 10-9, 10-8, 10-9, it was not enough swing rounds to give that fight, other than a draw, in my opinion, to SOG Ward. Jay Chris, you're the boxing aficionado. How did you see the fight?
Well, let me tell you this. Once I watched the fight, I heard everybody's opinion on Twitter and everything else during the fight. I didn't see the fight during the fight. I actually watched it the next morning. And I watched it with somewhat of a biased eye when I was watching it.
Kovalev's
and then when
your
I
guy.
Saw it, and Kovalev's my guy, no secret. Kovalev is my guy. I think before this fight, he was the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world. And then I'm watching this fight, and I'm watching, and I'm like, in the later rounds, I'm like, you know what? Andre Ward is looking good in this fight. He's looking good to me in this fight. First of all, let me say this. Andre Ward is better thank his lucky stars that when he got dropped, he didn't get dropped to that extended right cross. He got dropped as the punch
agreed.
Was coming in as opposed to the end of it. If he got caught with the end of that punch, this would be a whole different conversation. That fight's
agreed.
Over in the second round. Because it took him a little bit to get himself. It took him a round and a half to get himself together after that knockout.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Okay, and it took a round and a half. And then he got rocked again in the ninth round, and then he was hurt again in the ninth round, but he was able
Cole
to
got,
avoid any
what are you
type
talking
of.
About here?
Ward was hurt again in the ninth round.
Okay.
However, I gave Ward that round because I think he did more in that round. I think Kovalev got that one shot in that hurdle. But Ward did more in that round to win that round. And I know Letterman gave Kovalev the ninth round. I gave Ward the ninth round. I gave Ward the last four rounds, actually. Ward was planting seeds the entire fight for the end of that fight. I think Ward found out early that this dude has power. Let me stay away from his power. And he found out early that I don't have the power to put him on the canvas. So let me plant these seeds. He went in there. He was planting the seeds. The body shots that you referred to, Mike, caused Kovalev to slow down in the later rounds. And I think that's what allowed Ward to me, Ward looked like the better fighter towards the end of the fight. Kovalev was very active early. Kovalev was hitting shots early. But if you watch the fight again, which I encourage everyone to do.
I watched it on the British.
Ward was the sharper.
Mm-hmm.
Ward was the sharper fighter later in the fight, and he looked like the better fighter later in the fight, whereas I felt like Kovalev was more so looking for that moment, whereas Ward was looking for to win the fight. Go ahead.
Let me ask you this. So by your premise, by your definition about how you feel the fight was turned and why you feel what it sounds like you're saying, Ward deserved to win the fight. In that case, Philadelphia's own Danny Garcia should have lost his last four fights. Because in every one of those fights,
well,
down the stretch, he loses those rounds. But because he did enough early in those rounds, the judges say he did enough early on that he could win the fight.
We go round by round. I just think a lot of times when people judging these fights is that they don't go back on their card. They're judging their rounds. They're not saying, you know what I'm saying? So I'm going to put it this way. If we're talking about on the street, we fighting, Kovalev wins one. He won the fight, all right? We judging off that, all right? But we're judging it on a boxing point system. Unfortunately, a lot of times, this is what happens.
No, right, but that's the point I'm laughing at right there, because if this was a street fight, I would say Ward won the fight, okay? You're right, I wouldn't say that either. I'm sorry, I said the right Kovalev. But
yeah,
I don't get, even by boxing's rules, he didn't win the fight. He did not land more punches. He did not have a higher percentage of punches. Kovalev was never hurt in this fight.
But
all he did was get tired by a fighter who charged him like, what's my man with the big teeth and his dad, Jay Chris? Peterson, or what's
Porter.
The guy? Lewis
Porter.
Porter. That's all
Porter.
He did. That's all Ward did. For Ward to have been the guy that you and boxing people have been saying for years, he came out and demonstrated a punk way of winning the fight.
Well, let me say this. One, this is how vicious Ward is, too, if you want to really break down. Ward hasn't been even active enough in boxing over the last semi-years, right? Kovalev has been very active, right? And Ward is blessed, to be honest with you. He got lucky. He's very lucky even winning this fight.
He's been lucky.
Whatever way he was. Yeah, no. He's not lucky in this fight because you see Ward's action, his old action rate. Like, and Jay Chris, when Jay Chris talking about, like, in terms of later rounds, how Ward pretty much was the better fighter. If you got Ward who had his real active level in terms of fighting as regular as he used to, it wouldn't have been that close, to be real with you. That's one. It wouldn't have been that close. Ward was fighting on a time-to-time basis like he's Mayweather. He's not Mayweather, so I'm not even putting it. He's not Mayweather. But if Ward fought on a regular schedule like he's accustomed to fighting, this wouldn't have been that close. Now, again, if you're talking about box, you're talking about the earlier, the copy box stuff, I'm saying in the later rounds, Kovalev wasn't as active. You could say all early in terms of how copy box it within the early rounds, he was very active, but in the later rounds, he wasn't as active.
That's why I used the premise for one, Danny Garcia, who does the same thing. I'm sorry. Ward to win this fight, yes. But they needed him to be dominant and look skillful in the fight. Even if not dominant, boxing needed to see a really good fight. And I think boxing got an okay fight.
Ooh,
and I'm a boxing fan. I'm sorry.
This is what it does. And I think a lot of people do. Cause I know I'm a firm. I can't wait now. What has this fight set up?
It was going to be a rematch regardless.
And the rematch is going to be bigger. No, the rematch is going to be bigger than the initial fight. Money-wise, what did the boxing just do? They've now just hyped up their audience to this fight. So boxing, in the truth be told, has won because of this fight.
I disagree. There was no money going into this fight.
If Jay Chris is a boxer fan, between these two fights,
when I was hearing about what was happening in this fight, and then I heard that Ward won the fight, the first thing I thought was they just sold a rematch. When you have someone of Andre Ward's caliber and of Kovalev's caliber coming up, I think that I think boxing won in that sense. But I think that's also one of the biggest problems in boxing is that they tend to try to sell you for the next fight.
That's true.
Whereas they should have been selling you for this fight, and then what happens happens. They deal with what happens happen, you know, after this fight. But I think they sold the rematch already. I'm interested in seeing the rematch. I think a lot of people are interested in seeing the rematch, and as opposed to seeing a Pacquiao Mayweather rematch, which I have no interest in.
Let me say this, okay? Boxing fans, which the three of us are, and Mike, I'm going to get your opinion in a second, that you see the fight, Michael. I ask you that question right now. I know typically you're not into boxing, so I didn't go there with you with this one. I apologize.
You did right. No, you did right.
Okay, that's what I thought. So I come back to you in a moment. I thought so. Just wanted to make sure I was being. I had one of the moments, right? So, but outside of boxing fans, do you think the casual person who didn't give a damn about this fight in the first place, this fight shouldn't have been on pay-per-view in the first place, should have been on HBO. I believe more people would have saw it. Okay. I know for a fact that it didn't sell well, that they gave away half that stadium free the day of the fight. Uh-huh. Okay. Do you think this sells to non-boxing fans? To people you know just would watch a Mayweather fight and Pacquiao fight again just because it's their names, would still, in my opinion, watch that fight before they watch this fight. And I would disagree with saying why you would watch either fight. I'm a fan of Mayweather, so I'm going to say I would watch that one. I paid $100 for the first one. But I would also watch the second fight because I'm a boxing fan. But the average fan is not watching the second fight of that fight.
What's watching which fight? What's the name?
Ward
Kovalev.
Ward Kovalev.
Oh, yeah. I think the average fan watches it. I think the average
I'm not going to watch it.
I'm watching.
That's what I want to get in there. Micah, who is not a fan, but Micah would get into – Micah's not a fan of boxing or MMA. But his attention is drawn towards the UFC because of things they do. That's what I'm saying. That's what boxing means.
But this is the thing. You're talking about – all right, one, Kovalev himself isn't, say, and
box
even Warrior. I'm not going to knock Warrior. They're not. So I'm not – that's for me to say that.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not going to do it. But I think a casual boxing fan is only going to watch Mayweather, Pacquiao. That's what a casual boxing fan is going to watch. They're not going to say, I'm going to watch Terrence Crawford. They're not going to watch Terrence Crawford.
Casual boxing fans don't know who Terrence Crawford is.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Okay,
I'm being real.
But casual boxing fans don't know who Andre Ward is either.
That's why I got to ask. I got to ask this question for all guys who are into boxing and are legit boxing fans. My question is simply this. Does boxing need to be proactive in advertising and putting out their premier athletes so that I know about these people? One of the reasons why I hear about Conor McGregor, why I heard about Anderson Silva, was because of the advertising of these guys. They're not only they marketed them too.
Let me answer that for you. And I agree with you. Absolutely right. Here is why I think you would not get the same. UFC does a great job of advertising their fighters, the ones that they want to highlight, because UFC owns these guys and they can make them fight each other. They know that you're going to see this guy fight that guy. Boxing, unfortunately, at this time in boxing, you have people that are owned by different people and different entities and stuff like that have to come together to fight each other. And it's hard to for boxing, unfortunately, it's hard for them to advertise.
Boxing
definitely needs a one governing body, but it's never going to happen, unfortunately.
I have been saying since he beat
Bernard Hopkins that Kovalev is the best fighter pound for pound in the world. All right, I think the second best weight class in boxing right now is the light heavyweight weight class. Honestly, good. That's what I believe. But unfortunately, because you have so many different titles and so many different governing bodies, that if you advertise one champion, then another champion feels slighted. You know what I mean? And you got to, even though some champions, Tyson Fury, even though he's getting all his belts taken from him, heavyweight champion of the world, he's terrible. He was just able to get lucky and beat Klitschko, but he's terrible. So you can't hit your wagon to him, but you will hit your wagon to Deontay Wilder. But what you're not hearing is about my man in Cuba, Real King Kong, Luis, I can't remember his name. Lopez. But he needs to be put out there too, because I think he's probably the toughest heavyweight out there. But unfortunately, you're not going to see these things happen, because what the UFC has that's way better than what boxing has is one governing body. And that's why, if the casual boxing fan doesn't know who Kovalev is, that's why. Whereas the casual UFC fan might know who, I would say Conor McGregor, but he's the biggest name out there. John Jones, the casual UFC, Daniel Cormier knows who Daniel Cormier is, because they're able to advertise and package all those guys in good advertising, whereas boxing can't do it. So, boxing has to be advertised by the channel where the fight is coming on.
But see, here's the thing, guys. And when I look at boxing, and I know that it may appear that I'm on UFC's side here. I'm on the side of the sport. I'm on the side of the fans. That's what I am. And they need to be able to compete on every level, right? This is why the PBC was brought back together. Boxing is making a resurgence. Maybe I'm wrong for thinking this supposed to have been a mega fight, because the boxing fans, this was a mega fight.
It was a big fight. Boxing, it was a big
but
fight.
But boxing did not sell it that way.
Fans, you're right.
Boxing did not sell it that way.
Right.
So the world doesn't know it that way. And
well,
that's
an example.
Because the undercard was great. And I don't know who those guys were.
I missed the undercard. I missed that one. I know, like, for instance, I'll give you, like, an example. Like, when Pacquiao fought Eric Morales back in the day, right?
Right.
That was a big fight for boxing fans, but it really wasn't a big fight for mainstream folks. It was a big fight for boxing fans, but it wasn't a big fight for mainstream. I'm talking about initially, not the rematch. When you get rematches, then obviously your attention grows. But I'm saying initially, it wasn't as big as it would be on a, and Pacquiao was on a come-up anyway. Not like he was a star, he was on a come-up. But I'm just saying, but Morales was solid, though. Morales was already deemed like one of the best boxers pound for pound back then. But I'm just telling you, saying that, and to that, it's just that certain people have that star appeal to cross over for, like, the casual boxing fan. You got to be a particular brand already. Like, you got to be Mayweather. You got to be Pacquiao. That's how boxing is. You got to be that
yeah.
dude.
And let me say this to Wally's point. Boxing is at a state right now, unfortunately for them, that they live off the rematch. Where
yes.
where they don't have the fights. They don't.
I'm
if, unless
you,
it's Pacquiao,
you know,
Mayweather.
Because you hated how the Thurman and them fight setup came together. You said, "Oh God, you need to be better."
I hate
it.
Because they've done it so many times. They did it so many times, man. I watch so much boxing. I've seen
that's
that so
fight.
Much so many times. It's a big fight, but that whole as soon as I saw him in the ring, I was like, "Oh, they're going to have a little corny argument in the ring to set up the fight coming up in the spring." You know, as soon as he was like, "Why are you even in the ring, dog? Like, this is not your fight. This is not your night. Why are you in the ring?" Boxing needs to find another way to set that up. But boxing lives off the rematches right now. Unless you're Mayweather or Pacquiao, boxing lives off rematches because casual fans don't know who a lot of these guys are.
And one
quick note back to what I was saying about the advertising. Think about this. UFC has the upper hand in this because whatever channel they're fighting on, they can advertise their fighters. Right, boxing. You have your HBO fighters, you have your Showtime fighters, you have your PBCs and all like that. A lot of things have to come together for advertisement, and really, boxing is shooting itself in the foot with the resurgence of what UFC and Bellator and things like that. I'm gonna just say UFC because UFC is the main vein in this situation. With the way that UFC is able to advertise and package all their advertisements and advertise on whatever channel they want to advertise on,
well,
UFC is definitely going to have that upper hand.
Let me say this because you guys mentioned something, and we're going to move on. Bud Crawford's fight against who? Do you know who he was, Jay Chris? Do you know who he was, Wally?
No, I don't, for honest with you.
So far, his buy rate is almost 25% more than this past weekend's fight with Kovalev and Andre Ward. Just so we can just get that out the way right there. Okay. But, guys, this is your Fox Sports update.
Fox Sports Radio 13.
The Georgetown Hoyas right now on the four-letter deuce, up 38-25 over number 13 team Oregon in college basketball play. Number 12 Creighton goes tonight against at 8:30 against Mississippi. Number 5 Kansas is up tonight also on the deuce, going up against UAB. And that's right, guys. Number 4 North Carolina plays tonight at 11:30. Guys, college basketball in full slate. Going on also Monday Night Raw, Bill Goldberg will make an appearance on Monday Night Raw, keeping the storyline, people, because wrestling is hashtag storyline going. So this is your Fox Sports update. Could I just feel like giving you one, y'all? We'll be right back. Yesterday, guys, was the 30th. Annual Survivor Series. And, yeah.
You have no idea what you got involved with. You have no idea who you're messing with.
Might
you
not.
Have no idea. Congratulations.
Better tune in to Monday nights after Raw, to the only show doing a recap when it goes off. You know how Mondays go. Watch your Raw first, then listening to the Perfect Flex Radio. Shout out to the CEO, my homie Mike Knox.
What up?
AKA the Stephen A. Smith, the wrestler.
Get out of here with that.
And if you ever met him, you know he knows his wrestling. Don't believe me, check out his title collection.
The King of Belts.
Haters, we don't trust him, cause we destined for greatness. Stay on the bench watching the franchise players. Shout out to Spot Face. What up, K and me? The crew better known as 3 Count to you and me. Wrestling version of ESPN, 1st and 10. And for the fans asking, what's up with TNA? Check out Mr. Lopez,
yes,
this show covers everything. And for the marks that just hopped in the bag, y'all need some wrestling history, better listen to Chad.
They're
rolling up the latest SmackDown on competition too. Matter of fact, y'all, let me stop spitting, dude. It's time to tune in to the show the pros listen to. Y'all know what it is, man. Y'all know what y'all better be listening to. Every Monday night after Raw.
Do you
go
smell
on to www.bdsirnetwork.com or call in 347-637-3859.
Do you
smell
the Perfect Flex
Radio, man. Y'all, you know what it is. Yo, Mike Knox, I see you, man.
Do you smell?
You got $1 million audience, man. Matter of fact, let's talk wrestling, man. Enough of this, man. It's your boy, Frank Nux. Get at him.
Do you smell with Knox's cooking?
Rat Mania 2 coming soon.
Do you smell with Knox's cooking? And that's spelled with 3 X's. Cause damn it, I am hardcore. Cheer, let's get ready, baby. Perfect Flex Talk Radio. Live and 5, 4.
Fire entrenched in their DNA.
And Goldberg, definitely not afraid of Brock Lesnar. Everybody else in the world may be afraid of Brock, but Goldberg is not one of those men.
Goldberg said a few weeks ago, I have no problem going to the hospital after this match, but I'm going to make sure Brock Lesnar comes with me.
Only one other man in history has multiple one-on-one pay-per-view victories over Brock Lesnar. That's John Cena. Goldberg looks to do it tonight. And Brock Lesnar looking to establish dominance. And Goldberg dropping Lesnar.
Goldberg was unfazed. And Lesnar couldn't believe it. A look of shock in the eyes of the beast who was planted by Goldberg.
No fear from Goldberg.
And a spear! Goldberg hit Lesnar with a spear! A spear from out of nowhere!
Goldberg may shock the world. Goldberg looking to end this early.
Lesnar's hurt. Lesnar's hurt.
Goldberg again with a spear.
Two spears to Lesnar. Brock's in trouble. Brock's in trouble.
I don't think anybody expected this sort of dominance right out of the gate from Goldberg.
The beast may be on the verge of getting slayed. What an incredible moment here. Lesnar trying to catch his breath, trying to make it to his feet.
The Icon is stalking the Beast incarnate.
Lesnar can't even get up. Goldberg again. He's got Lesnar center of the ring.
Goldberg's looking for a jackhammer.
He's looking for the jackhammer. Goldberg's looking for the jackhammer. A jackhammer to Lesnar. Here's the cover. Oh, my God. Goldberg beat Brock.
Here is your winner, Goldberg.
A monumental upset. After 12 years, Goldberg returns to the ring and absolutely destroys the Beast.
I cannot.
Yeah. How do you feel about that, J. Chris?
Well, let me tell you. I wasn't very excited about the match building up to it. I think we spoke on that last week. I you know, being that it was Goldberg, of course, it's going to have, you know, the attention of people my age and people that saw Goldberg back in the day. I wasn't excited about the match because I was just thinking, like, you know, I hope Brock Lesnar, they just don't have Brock Lesnar doing a bunch of German suplexes and blah, blah, blah. And they didn't. Thank God they didn't.
no, they didn't.
Now, I'm somewhat intrigued, and I do say somewhat intrigued, of what they do with the storyline from this point forward. Because, of course, when Goldberg came out, he said, I'm back for one more time and one more time, or something like that. Whatever he said, you're next and you're last, or something like that. But now, you know, he's coming back to Raw tonight, and last night he said, after everyone, he said, I'm back and all like that. So, it's, you know, so you got to think that they're going to have at least another match. Just please, WWE, please hear my cry and don't have him fighting The Undertaker. Please, God, don't have him fighting The Undertaker. And I'm not an Undertaker hater, guys.
Goldberg?
Yes. I don't want to see
that
because
okay.
When and don't have him fighting Shane McMahon either, please. But
at least sit on Mac alone.
When I think about these old guys getting in the ring, man, I can't help but think about the last days of Ric Flair when he was in the ring and the skin was hanging off in dear life, and it's just no. Come on, please.
That was a great match for him and Shawn Michaels, though.
hey, Ric Flair was the man up until the end. All right, I'm not taking nothing away from him, but it's just kind of weird to see an old man going up against a young dude and hanging with him. All right, but that being said, I thought last night the way they put it together, the way the hype and everything was, I thought it was awesome the way they did it, and I liked the way they did it. Kudos to them, and I'm actually probably going to try to tune in tonight to see where they take it from here.
So I like that from a wrestling fan who enjoys what it is, and when it sucks, but, you know, still watches. Wally, your take on Goldberg at Survivor Series, wrestling fans call it a squash match. I don't call it that, but whatever.
I actually caught it, I was at the bar and this dude was playing it on his phone. I guess the network, he was just on his phone.
Mm-hmm.
And folks were just watching on his phone. And I was like, you know, and I remember like thinking like, oh, wow, like Survivor Series has to be like, it has to be about, it's supposed to end like 11 or something like that, whatever. I said, this is
right.
And then Goldberg was fighting.
We all
like,
call that.
Oh, snap. And I was like, okay, this fight can't go for so long because it's Bill Goldberg. He can't have it long that.
Good point.
So we watched it. And then, like, okay, spear. I'm like, oh, he speared him? Oh, no, this can't happen. Then he hit him with a second spear. I was like, wait a minute. And then, you know, he hit the jackknife. I thought that was good. I mean, I think in terms of a storyline later on, a storyline, a jackknife, I know, right? down the road for a storyline, I think that, you know, for Goldberg to utilize him the best way, is to, like, you know, maybe do something with even more with a Brock Lesnar. So I like it. I think you keep the Goldberg character what it is, what he did back then in WCW, and it doesn't hurt Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar is not a full-time wrestler anyway. So, I mean, you can still build on Brock Lesnar anyway in the rematch. I thought it was a good job. I'm not mad at it.
Like that opinion, too. And, Micah, with all due respect, before you jump in there, KME joins us. Also, before KME jumps in there,
I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. When my kids can stay up the entire pay-per-view, when my oldest son, who is not ever a fan of anything I'm a fan of, which pisses me off other than John Cena, says, and I quote, "Dad, oh my God." I don't like when he says that, but, you know, they're kids. "Bill Goldberg is my new favorite superhero." Because even he knew, and what he saw is Brock Lesnar is unstoppable. He had a 3-year run of beating anybody and everybody and making it look easy. He made John Cena look easy. He made Undertaker look easy. He made every single match, Randy Orton, look easy. I don't care what you say, wrestling fans. Brock Lesnar has made everything he's done look easy. And I'm going to finish that and come back. Micah, your take on last night. I still ain't gave my Survivor Series anything. I just got to tweet this live. Go right ahead, Micah. Your thoughts?
Just focusing on that last match, and I have to go in the direction that Jay Chris was talking about, just all the build-up and things like that for it. I honestly was not expecting a long match. First of all, I wasn't expecting a long match. I was expecting 5-7 minutes. That's what I was expecting. Goldberg, I know he's in good condition by what we saw in his body, but of course we know that ring shape for wrestling is different from, you know, just basic athletic conditioning and things like that. So what I was looking at the match, and I looked at it again because it was so short, and I was trying to register within myself, okay.
Survivor Series,
yeah, no, the wrestling junkie in me wants to say, did you really just make me waste this money to watch this and to wait for this and blah, blah, blah? And then I said, hold on, let me say, why would Goldberg win so fast? Why would he win in such a powerful, strong way? What are they going to do tonight to solidify the reasons why he did that? And then what did Jay Chris bring up? Well, if we think about the history of Goldberg, think about the history of Brock Lesnar. Well, Brock Lesnar has a history of running through people, and Goldberg has a history of running through people until they met each other at that WrestleMania. Granted, we already know, those of us who watched it know what that match was, if whatever. But we saw him get that win. But then after that, Brock Lesnar leaves. He established himself as a legitimate athlete outside of the WWE, and he gets a rude awakening by Cain Velasquez. And after he gets a rude awakening by Cain Velasquez, he comes back. But that's just a UFC joke. But
let's not talk about Brock's UFC career, because I got my Conor McGregor opinions about his UFC career. But
yeah, of course.
To be honest, but listen, let me just jump back in there real fast. Blind tag, because
right, cool.
I'm sorry, I had to blind tag you, and I go back to you before I go to KMA. What I don't understand, everybody's saying squash match. This has been a squash match. We're live 347-637-3859. If you have an opinion, all right. Everybody out there always talking about, hey, I'll call into your show and tell you this. I'll call into your show and tell you that. Well, damn it, I've been on air for 7 years, and ain't none of you some bees called in yet to challenge me. Hashtag heard versus not. I'm calling you out, Colin Coward, as well, okay? But listen, a squash match, when Brock Lesnar's 3-year run has been a squash match, okay? And it makes for beautiful wrestling, because you sat here every single time and said, who would beat Brock Lesnar? Who's going to beat Brock Lesnar? It's getting boring. He's beating everybody, right? So then you bring in an older, nostalgic moment. I know people like Mr. Lopez will say, well, oh, you complain about TNA bringing in older guys. Well, TNA bringing in guys like Raven. Need I say more? This is Goldberg. Whether you like him or not, he's not Raven, okay? So then they bring in Goldberg. The crowd goes crazy for Oldberg, as you deemed him, okay? I didn't want to see him. I got excited towards the pay-per-view in, and then he beats his ass? This sets up everything. Nobody turns away money, point blank and simple, okay? So Goldberg can say on television, which is probably bad. You know, he's never been the greatest talker, okay? One match for my son. Well, we saw your son with his shirt off, and you should have your son run up and down the stairs like I make my son do when he's not listening, because that guy was kind of flabby. He's kind of young to be that fat, Goldberg. You should be ashamed of yourself. Not questioning your parenting skills, just saying that boy's a little bit now. He shouldn't have little – he had titties, as Rampage Jackson would say, okay? He had some titties, okay? But I'm sorry. I'm talking about the kids. But anyway, Goldberg, really. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. The Survivor Series was beautiful, okay? To see teams form, to see people get eliminated early, the New Day, to see the Shield reform, everything about Survivor Series was really, really just okay until that damn point. That made me say, wow. At 10:15, wow. That's all I wanted to say, Micah. That's all I had to say. Facebook, that's all I had to say.
I don't know why you actually thought the Survivor Series was just okay. I thought there was a lot of really, really good matches in there. I was actually if I had to give it a belt grade based on everything that I saw and just my impressions of the pay per view, I was giving it my favorite belt, which is, you know, the John Cena US title spinner belt.
John Cena.
Anyway, I was going to give it a 4.75 out of 5, John Cena U.S. Championship spinner belt, because I really thought that was that there was only one thing I didn't like, and that was it. And it wasn't the Goldberg-Brock Lesnar match. After getting out of my junkie mode for a second, thinking about it, I see why they did it the way they did it. Because, yeah. like you said, that based on your thought process, I had to tweet out, what do you think a squash match is? And, well, a squash match doesn't necessarily have to be a match where it goes for 2 minutes. Squash match can also be what Brock Lesnar did to John Cena at SummerSlam. That's awesome, classic match. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
A squash match was the finger poke of doom.
Yeah, that was a squash match.
What happened with Randy Orton and Brock Lesnar was a squash match. This is what I don't get about wrestling fans, right? They try to question me on things, right? I'm gonna just say this because I like a toot bone horn and my wife is hot, okay? Bret Hart told me my wrestling intelligence was great. Do you think I give a damn what you think? Okay, now that's...
Okay. The best there was,
and the best there ever will be. I called into a
podcast. My
wrestling knowledge was great. What's his words? Exactly. Okay.
Wow.
So,
moving on.
So, look at how the match went. He caught him off guard with a spear. When he was hurt, No one expected him, not even Brock Lesnar expected him, to spear him again. Maybe kick him, maybe knee him, maybe do something else. But another another signature move, and then he jackhammered him. Okay, guys, let's calm down. Get your under rules. And I know you had them. You watched the Goldbergs, or at least you watched Fresh Off the Boat because you're a 90s fan. Whatever. Tay and me. What is your take? My letter grade right now, you know what? Because I like pissing the internet off. My wrestling grade is 4.95. I upped you there, Micah. Undisputed Brock Lesnar championships for last night. So you have to go to a 5 to beat mine or I win. What you got there, KME?
Honestly, that show was really ticking me off. Up until that match, I think sometimes they go out of their way to surprise people to their detriment. Almost, it's like they'll book something and make it a surprise for no reason. I was telling my friend the other day, like watching WWE would be like watching an episode of Fresh Prince of Bel Air, where Will Smith decides to become a Crip. And he stays a Crip for, like, the whole season, you know? And it just doesn't make any sense. It's like, why is Will Smith a Crip? Like, I don't know. We fooled you guys, you know? And that's how I started watching much of Survivor Series last night. But that Goldberg match made perfect sense to me. I didn't know. And like you guys, I didn't know which way they were going to go with it. I said, if Goldberg is going
to
stick around, he's got to win his first match. And I don't mind the squash element to it, because Goldberg is, like you said, Goldberg's been squashing everybody, and I think it kind of it gives Goldberg an extra layer of vulnerability that he didn't have before and that he almost desperately needed. And honestly, it gives them a chance. In wrestling, sometimes you get a second chance to right the wrongs that you did. You know, Eric Bischoff had a second chance to run a wrestling company when he ran TNA and did a horrible job. The WWE's had several chances to do the alliance angle, and every one of them, they flopped with it.
Right.
This is their chance to do Goldberg again because they flopped with it the first time because Goldberg, honestly, Goldberg's first match when he came back, he should have beaten The Rock the way he beat Lesnar last night.
Oh, wow.
Hindsight being 2020, that's how Goldberg should have been built his whole run.
No. Drop the mic. Okay, and take pride of the intelligence that just came out of you as a wrestling fan by saying they did them wrong the first time, and every wrestling fan says that, right? Every wrestling fan says that. And I just think people make too much to do about absolutely nothing. You know what I mean? Michael, what, you making some shakes in the house? You tenderizing that chicken, that meat?
What?
So I heard a lot of cooking in the background. That's all I'm talking about. Like literally in the kitchen, not in your boudoir. Well, you freaking freaks out there. But outside of that main match, right, I really did thought it was still I will give Paul credit in saying when he said, it's Survivor Series. You know what I mean? But then I knew what I wanted from it by them bringing them together. And I was shocked that Raw kind of, really dominated. You know what I mean? I was proud of how they had Nia Jax look like she looked. We knew what Braun Strowman would have. We knew Shane would go on against him. I figured the Shield would not form. Honestly, I thought I would see the two of them go against Dean, or maybe Dean and Roman go against against Seth. But I didn't see them all three coming together. I love the Survivor Series. I think it's going to go down as one of the most shocking, memorable Survivor Series of all time. And I don't never throw that word around. And you guys know that. I don't say greatest of all time to anything other than Michael Jordan. Okay? But this has to be one of the best Survivor Series of all times, Micah.
Well, I mean, I have to agree with you on that one, Mike, because the last Survivor Series that I honestly remember was because I was so mad. Like, I'm talking about, like, seething mad. And then I let it go after, like, another day. But I was really mad that Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family did not beat Undertaker and Kane to solidify Bray Wyatt's character. That's the last thing I can remember about any Survivor Series because I was so angry about it because I wanted Bray Wyatt to be so good. And then he gets to win today. I was like, oh, great. But that's not the reason. This Survivor Series had a lot of stuff in it. Like, for example, I want to point to a match that maybe not a lot of people are going to talk about or give him credit for. The Miz against Sami Zayn, even Wolf Maurice kind of ruining it for what it is, but that's a Miz match, so he's a heel, so it makes sense. But he wrestled a fantastic match against Sami Zayn. And I'm not trying to be a Miz apologist or anything, but this brother needs to get credit where credit is due. And I think that him and Daniel Bryan, for all the backstage heat, quote unquote, that they've been presenting, that I think he's been getting some tips on how to do these things with Daniel.
I didn't mention him, yo. The Miz, you can hate me now, is a top star. Wow.
The Miz when he was a WWE champion was the Miz Intercontinental Champion right now is way better in ring and on the mic, every aspect of a wrestler that you could ask for than the Miz that won a WWE championship and beat John Cena at WrestleMania. This Miz is way better than that Miz. And that's hard for some wrestlers to do. To reinvent themselves personally take time to reinvent themselves and their character, and have some things that's still a part of your character, but enhance yourself. And Miz's in-ring ability was great. I think it was a fantastic match.
Speaking of Hall of Famers like Goldberg, who's going in the Hall of Fame this year, let's just go ahead and book that right now. The Miz is a first ballot Hall of Famer as well. Cammy, you said that the rest of the night to you was just you wasn't satisfied with it until that match. You didn't like none of the classic Survivor Series matches, The Miz versus
I went back and watched. Last night I hated it. I went back and watched it today. There were a couple good matches. There were a couple good sequences. I just didn't understand the Survivors. That was my problem. I still have a problem with it, but it wasn't as crappy. The thing about the Goldberg thing is it got my attention so much that I really didn't care about any of that other stuff. I thought it was done so beautifully. I always say on this show what I loved about the Ruthless Aggression era is, you know, the matches were somewhat realistic. It's realistic to get caught off guard by a spear. It was like Benoit would be tapping out Lesnar, and
true.
It was real. And I liked it when people used to tap out. I don't like seeing John Cena staying in an Anaconda Vice for 20 minutes and not tapping. That's fake to me. What happened
the
last
MVP
night was real.
Today. You're the MVP today. Give me your grade for Survivor Series, Cammy.
I give it an 8 out of 10. Now that I've had time to, get over my anger, I can't say watch it again with an open and clear mind. And then looking at the Lesnar Goldberg match, and Lesnar's not going to take a long time for getting it. All Lesnar has to do is come out tonight, maybe beat down the New Day or Kaz and Enzo or something. Him and Goldberg can do a pull apart. He's got his heat back. People are going way too over dramatic with this nonsense. The dude's already lost to Cena on his first match, and he lost to Triple H at that WrestleMania. So, Lesnar's always going to be fine. The cream always rises to the top.
All right, I had to give you a personal clap and the applause right here. But before we get up out of here, and you disappointed me there, Cammy. You know damn well we do belt grades 8 out of 10. What the hell is that?
I'll give it 8 of the Goldberg belt, the big gold belt. I'll give it 8 of those.
The Goldberg belt. All right.
It was Big Goldie. That one.
Raw tonight, real fast, Michael. What do you see happening? What do you want to happen?
Well, I want Raw to continue. Well, some of the things they brought out in Survivor Series last night. So I want to see Sami Zayn. I want to see them see if they can figure out a way to book that Sami Zayn Miz match, just to see if we can create something, even though they won't see each other again for a while. To create that burn there. I like the chink in the armor that they put for the New Day, and that maybe we can start seeing as they get closer and closer to that record. Maybe they beat it by 1 day, 5 days, whatever have you. I think they'll beat it by the time Roadblock comes around. So if they have that record by Roadblock, maybe they drop it, and maybe they can have a good setup to who they're going to drop it to, so we can see that going on. And I also want to see how they – because Goldberg, from what I'm trying to find, some of the information I find, Goldberg ain't that wasn't a one-off like we thought. So
I thought that anyway. But listen, we're going to get up out here a little early, and hit your air drums. Come on. Where you at? Air drums. I want. Can you hit that note? Who can hit that note? I'ma hit it. Watch me hit it. The Goldberg's the best show on television. I don't give a damn what anybody says. Best and worst of the weekend for me, King Von Jr. 720 on the Twitter. Follow that man right there. Love his opinion, love his passion, and love him as a person. He is a man of God. Hold us down on the Twitter. This has to be a tweet for me, Micah. For YouTube, but King Ball Jr. Best of the weekend for Mike Knox, # Survivor Series. Worst of the weekend, # Ward Kovalev outcome. Was not a big fan of it. Tammy, best and worst of the weekend for you, brother.
the best of the weekend to me was the Goldberg winning thing. That, I thought that was great. The worst of the weekend was the I'm sorry, I can't. Shane McMahon, this got to stop, and that's all I'm gonna say about that. I don't want to get into a whole thing about it. But
Shane O'Mac alone, Micah, best and worst of the weekend.
Best of the weekend, everything that WWE gave us between TakeOver and Survivor Series.
Oh, yes.
Every minute of it. Love the outcomes of the premier matches because some of those outcomes were something that I didn't expect. Worst of the weekend.
Definitely the Revolution losing.
Yeah, definitely the worst of the weekend is Dallas winning another daggone game. God dang it, stop winning. We need to see you lose on Thursday, but I called it. You're probably going to win again, you stupid Cowboys.
Well, I hate them guys. Listen, our time is up, so do me a favor. That's the wrong damn theme song. That's super old. Let's run that back. Thank you, producer. There it is. Who? Who? Say it again. Yeah, listen. Do not wake up tomorrow morning and have yourself a very special Thanksgiving. Enjoy yourself, enjoy family, love one another, and you now wake up tomorrow morning and say to yourself, I love me some me, and don't love God. Read a book. Catch that Facebook. We see y'all on Friday. Fingers.
We in here talking about practice. I'm a man. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game.
This is the Soulless Sports, hosted by Mike Knox. It's barbershop talk, still we think outside the box. We take it to the hoop, y'all be trying to find your shot. Sports talk, the best on the dial when it's time to rock. We talking football, baseball, boxing, any sports you can name. Keep your radios locked in. Listen, you can get the scoop on all your top 10. Mike Knox, Soul and Sports, we keep it hot, man.
If you're not down with that.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to Geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your move.
Danny, I just figured out that if I switch to Metro PCS, I get two Samsung Galaxy phones free.
Cool, Dad.
And I could be a super dad with two free Samsung Galaxy phones and call myself Double Galaxy Man.
Or you could give the second phone to your sidekick.
Yeah, I guess I could do that.
That's right. Two free Samsung Galaxy On 5 smartphones are all yours when you switch to Metro PCS. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.